You're listening to the Magic Media Podcast, bringing you all the news coming from the world of magic media. I'm Padraig Walsh, and today we're going to dive right in what's going on in the creative world, and we'll be speaking to someone to share all about 3D character concept and modeling. I'm buzzing to find out. Let's go! So let's start with the news. The announcement of Counter-Strike 2 seems to have galvanized the tactical shooter community. Counter-Strike Global Offensive recorded a new peak of online players, over 1.5 million players. According to SteamDB, this mark was reached on March 26th and is the first time that the game surpasses the barrier of 1.5 million players online. Counter-Strike GO is consistently one of the most popular games on Steam and often ranks at the top of the most played games. To give you an idea of its popularity, Dota 2, the second most played on Steam, has less than half of Counter-Strike players online. As for the future of the shooter, Counter-Strike 2 is scheduled for release this summer. Valve has already shared some details for what's to come, and even though it's fundamentally the same game, there are small changes that will make all the difference, especially in the competitive aspect of the game. The Darkest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic is about to become a AAA action game. The hit 2020 comic book series Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is being adapted as a video game, and it's one that draws heavy inspiration from the God of War franchise and similar action games. Polygon broke the news in an interview with Doug Rosen, Senior Vice President for Games and Emerging Media at Paramount Global. While the developer involved is still being kept on the wraps, Rosen indicated the goal is to create a AAA action title that draws heavily from the comic book source material. The Last Ronin is notable for being the first collaboration in many years between Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle creators Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. Based on an unproduced story from the 80s, Last Ronin is a Dark Knight Return-esque tale set in a bleak, futuristic version of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle universe. In this world, all but one of the four turtles has been killed by the Foot Clan, leaving the lone survivor to seek revenge against the grandson of Shredder. Rosen also indicated the game will break from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle tradition by only focusing on one character, though he didn't rule out the possibility of other turtles appearing via flashback sequences. The Last Ronin carries the weapons of all the Fallen Brothers, which could suggest the game will allow players to switch weapons and fighting styles on the fly. Little else is known about the Last Ronin game right now, and the game is said to be a few years from release at this early stage. Magic Media expands its areas of expertise with the addition of Magic Media VFX and Cinematics. We're thrilled to have the dedicated team and extended experience and proficiency in visual effects and cinematic services for the film and television industry. With this strategic collaboration, Magic Media now boasts a way more diverse and comprehensive range of services, including software development, cybersecurity, art, animation, and game development. Magic Media VFX and Cinematic Specialist Services complement our existing offerings and enable us to deliver a more complete suite of services to our clients in the entertainment industry. I want to say best of luck to the team involved, and I can't wait to see what projects lie ahead. Today, we'll be speaking with Kim Lyons, a creative industry leader who's been at the forefront of the industry for over 25 years. With a true blend of studio management and studio direction, she specializes in creating and implementing art pipelines, processes, and workflows. Kim started as a senior 3D environment artist, texture artist, and art technician for LucasArts. She then became the head of studio for Telltale Games, progressing her career as an art leadership consultant, and is now the executive director of art for Magic Media. She's an artist through and through, and I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to speak with her. So without further ado, let's jump into our conversation with Kim Lyons. Kim, thanks so much for being here for the Magic Media Podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Padraig. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
No worries at all. It's great. So let's start off with this question here. What inspired you to get into this industry?
Oh, it's such a good question. You know, I have always known my destiny was to be an artist. In what field, in what industry, I never really knew. That's always hard because you also need to know as an artist, at least when I started, that you also needed to make a living. So This as an artist, you know, led me to just explore all the different things. And I have to say, fortunate enough to live in the California Bay Area, Northern California, growing up with George Lucas and the Lucas world all around us, that was an inspiration. I feel like if any artist grew up in this area, that's where they wanted to be. At the time, that studio was just on the cutting edge of all things film and special effects. And that was an inspiration, I think, for me. But by happenstance, I just, my first job at the very lowest level you could start at, was actually in the games division of LucasArts. And
amazing.
That kind of led to this lifelong career of over 25 years of being in the game industry as an artist. I would have never probably planned for this, or if someone had asked me when I was first starting out, I don't know that I would have mentioned this, because quite honestly, I didn't even know this was a possibility at the time. So I feel I am quite blessed. I have had an exciting career with a lot of intensely imaginative and creative people in this industry, and I just couldn't have asked for anything more.
That's amazing. Like, to be in the heart of Lucas, that's...
Yes!
What a world that was in. Did you have the Force? Like,
I think we were all initiated with a little bit of the Force, not the whole Force, though, I will say. But yes, of course, that's part of it. But we can't talk too much about it, because that's very private.
That's fair. So what I want to find out, because you've vast experience now in this industry here, and in particular, I want to show what it is about 3D character concept. So yeah. In regards to like the 3D character concept development, could you guide us through like this process of like concept to creation?
Absolutely. I would say, even though my background is in environment modeling, that was my craft for many years, it is... no one would deny that the characters are the heart of every game, and the process in itself. Well, we don't have that much time to go over everything, but I always love going over just kind of high level view of what it takes to really bring a character to life in the world of any video game. And we're talking from hyper casual to AAA. I mean, characters are the heart and soul of, they're the player, you know, and you're really, I always like to say this because it is so critical, is everything starts with story. Everything is ingrained with story, with design. All the details are the thread that are in the fabric of the, just the development and the heart of all the character creation process. So I think the first piece there is really doing the research. Meeting up, but then doing the research. So pulling ideas, and this can come from anywhere. We live in a day and age, obviously, where the internet is our best resource. And if I'm to think back when we first started magazines, where we would rip pages from magazines just for inspiration. But now we have the world of the internet. We have movies, we have television shows. So pulling images of, you know, I guess anything that inspires the story we're trying to tell in a character. So that's always the first step. The second step would then be moving to a little bit of a visual exploration, doing some roughs. And I think any experienced 2D concept artist would tell you, you don't want to get too into the details at this point. It's really shape language, because the important piece is we are all part of a bigger process. So after the character is created, it needs to move to animation, right? So we do not want this to not be functional either for an animator. So
practicalities is like important there.
Practicalities, absolutely. That's the best way to do it. Because if a character has too many attachments, how are they going to move? If their legs are too short and we can't get them walking properly, that wouldn't function properly. You know, all of these are really important things to think about, because you have to think about upstream disciplines and downstream disciplines, as we like to say, because we're really all part of a bigger process. So yes, shape language, you know, after we've done the research, moving to roughs and exploring shape language. So this is kind of black and whites. you know, really exploring different looks and designs. So this is still a very collaborative time with art director, creative director, designer, and if we have writers. So once we really hone in on the roughs that are really resonating, then we'll start moving towards really refining those roughs, adding a little bit more details and really honing on the ones that work well. So I would say this is probably the next step, is just really honing in, refining the roughs, and starting to move towards that final design. And it could be taking some pieces of this one, and then one from this one, and start merging the pieces that are working.
Would there be key things you look for in this kind of process here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Key things. Like, I really am loving the way the hair is working here. I love the way you have the pants here. The height here is working really well. I think we want to add a few more pounds to this person. They're living well. So this bigger kind of build works best. All of these things, you know, just adding the details that really are supporting the narrative. So that's key. So I always say it's like a funnel, right? You start broad and then you just start working your way down to the final product. Mm. So if we are in kind of that refining rough stage, we start getting into the line drawings, right? And again, staying away from too much color at this point, because that can be a little distracting. We don't want to get too and waste too much time on details that might be reworked and reworked. So at this point, refining the roughs, getting into line drawings, I think is really key. And there's a lot of back and forth in this process. I think some people think this all just comes from one artist, and really the best character designs are ones that are incredibly collaborative. You know, having everybody part of the process really weighing in. I'd even say at this point, we'd have a lead animator, a rigger, talking to the concept artist, making sure that the concept artist is aware, this is how something might deform, this is how something, you know, might not lend itself to modeling. The character concept artist and the character modeler should be a team. You know, how is this going to translate to 3D? All of these things are key pieces to success, really.
Is this achieved then through like just collaborative methods of like meetings and just like, let's checkpoint here and then come in and regroup? Or is it kind of an ongoing process?
I'd say any and all of it. You know, every team is a little more unique. The reality we live in right now, Patrag, is we are all working in various forms of remote working, right? So yeah. If most of the time, if you were in office, this would be something where you would come and sit in a small meeting, you know, or look at someone's desk over their shoulder. But had great success too with this remote world and utilizing, you know, task tracking and visuals such as ShotGrid or even Jira, or just using our screens. So absolutely, sitting down, having a conversation is always best. Mm-hmm. But you can hand off and then asking for handovers and feedback also works. I think as long as the collaboration just happens in some form.
And within these conversations then, there's obviously key pillars to look for when achieving these models. Like, what would the key pillars be?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I don't know that we have a standard key pillar. It really depends on the goal of the game. So within that, this is a tough question. The key pillars.
I suppose it's kind of like project by project basis, isn't it? Because
it really is. I mean, again, if I were to call out a game such as Last of Us, which is almost apocalyptic era, like a Walking Dead, mm-hmm. the key pillars are a little bit of horror, survival, what represents how these people are surviving and how they're surviving. Do they have weapons? Are they living kind of ragtag? Any of these things become the pillars of the games that translate over to character design, you know, again, this is that piece, Padraig, I mentioned, where they all ties into the narrative of the story that we're trying to tell. And art is no different. Art is not an independent piece of any project. It is very much part of just the intertwinings of everything we're trying to express in games.
And I suppose there's a balance there needed to like measure, like have the need for creativity and artistic expression, but then also the demands of a client and the project specifications. How do you balance that?
That's a really good question. I would say there's always, if you were to ask a producer this question, you might get an answer such as time.
Yeah.
You know, these are the standard constraints, I would say, on a project, right? So what can we achieve in this time frame or this budget? Those are always the two staples. But again, functionality is another key piece, right? Can we model this correctly and animate it correctly? And one example I always like to say is sometimes we have had character concept artists create these beautiful designs, but maybe the hair is just this Rapunzel-esque, loose styling of beautiful hair, which really functionally in creation and animation is probably not ideal. Actually, it's not probably, it is definitely not an ideal way to have your character, because setting up that hair just in modeling and then also having it rigged and animate, it's just, it is a bit of a waste, I would say, in trying, unless that's a key element of your game, I would say we want to stay away from really difficult tech-wise and skill-wise details in this sense. You have to be smart in where you're kind of spending your time, your budget, your resources, all of this. And there's several other examples, but that's just one. Is usually if you see some female characters, there's a lot of ponytails, you know, or there might be braids or very short haircuts, right? Because hair can be very demanding to come across and look realistic in the sense of modeling and animation. So I call out hair as one example, but attachments, weapons, having capes or coats, which require, you know, rigging and dynamics that can be expensive. So these are things we're always thinking. And this is why collaboration is key. A concept artist that might be new might not understand how difficult something they're creating is to create in a 3D space.
I think it's a good point as well, because like I remember seeing recently, when, you know, when Unreal Engine 5 came out.
Yes.
I think there was like a mod where they had someone be, you can be Superman flying through the city. And like, you could just witness the cape. It just doesn't work like to the point exactly yet. So like, it must be such a challenge.
It is a challenge, right? And then you're calling out a really good point, is to just kind of the player's eye. There's so much room for error, and nobody wants to set ourselves up for failure, right? If we don't have the time, the budget, or the skill to do something like that, we should probably stay away from it. It is something that is very demanding. If you are doing a Superman or Batman game and it is very key to your gameplay, then you probably should invest heavily in that and probably take away in some other areas, you know, if your budget is tight, if your timeline is tight. So this is the give and take that games production is always about. Because you're absolutely right. If a player sees it, it just doesn't look good, then that's always difficult for us as the game creators to sit with, you know. So we want to be smart about those things.
And I suppose with everything becoming smarter and smarter every day, there is emerging technology left, right, and center. Like now we get like the virtual reality, artificial intelligence. Like, is playing in the future of 3D character development, like, is there ways that, is there things happening to prepare to adapt to these advancements? Is there something going on?
Good question. I mean, we are at the cusp of AI, I'm going to say. And while I do not have any of the answers of where this is going to take us, I can pretty definitively say that this is going to be a part of the industry, of any creative technical arts moving forward, AI is, as an artist who begrudgingly loves the fundamentals and hand-done art, and I still feel these are only tools. I really believe in that. We still need artists and creative people to, the human touch will never go away. Yeah. But it is mind-blowing the way AI is starting to come together and be a strong, I would say, benefit to the art creation, whether it be film, whether it be games, whether it be television. This is going to be another strong tool that is just really going to change the way we do things. Absolutely.
And as of, like, in the field of 3D character development,
yeah,
what insights can you offer about, like, the future of the industry and its impact in various fields, such as, like, entertainment, gaming, education, even?
That is such a big question, Petra, and I could probably talk about this for the rest of the day with you, and I know we only have a short time. You know, one of the things that always fascinates me is the advancements with technology are almost allowing different industries to overlap now. And I know it's only one answer to a very big question, but what I see as amazing is we're seeing kind of film and television now overlapping with gaming. And a lot of this is due to just the advancements in technology and fidelity, like utilizing the Unreal Engine, which is pretty much pushing graphics beyond anything I've seen prior. And then seeing film and television also utilizing Unreal and getting artists that understand craft at this level, AA, AAA games, Gods of War, Last of Us, all of these games, those are also artists that most definitely could work in fields such as television and film. So the overlap between all of these industries is becoming greater, you know, and it's kind of exciting to see. I mean, you see some shows or films and they make it in Unreal now. And I'm loving within Magic Media as well, because we do so much. We do have artists that don't just belong in one kind of industry or one studio, because they can go and work with our VFX group and do some character work for them on some of their trailers or some of their film contributions, and then come back and work with us in our gaming pipelines. The pipelines obviously are a little different. Restrictions on technical specs are still obviously a little different, but the technology push, the general workflows, the skill set, they're really starting to overlap, and it's kind of amazing to see.
It is pretty, it's crazy, isn't it, how it all just kind of just happening very noticeably now. And it must have been in the pipeline for a while as well before it became that noticeable. But from that, like, where do you see the industry evolving over the next decade, let's say?
Oh my goodness. Again, yet another good question that would take probably days to
a decade.
Well, you know, I'm going to take maybe another avenue this time, and something we're exploring quite a bit within our own studio is kind of this metaverse as well. And even to add in this NFT space, I don't know that I would have ever predicted anything like this, being so focused just on the art side of things, but this kind of metaverse and even NFT space is a little mind-blowing and hard for my brain to really grasp, you know, how we start making games this way now. And what does that look like on the user side? You know, we're on the cusp of this at Magic Media. I will say a lot of our clients are really wanting us to help them push this upcoming kind of trend of how we're moving forward in the gaming industry. And I'm kind of excited to see that we're a part of kind of paving the way.
Exactly. Yeah. I just think it's very exciting that, like, with this metaverse and what it will do to the gaming, it's basically what it does technologically anyway, creating this kind of ecosystem where you see all this overlapping, like we're seeing now with the film and the video games, but also with the players themselves, that they're going to own these things, and what they own in one game is what they'll own in another game, because the infrastructure is going to be there to accommodate that both, which 100%. which is where minds will be blown, I believe. And I think Ready Player One is a fantastic example of where it could be.
Yeah.
For anyone who's aspiring to be in this 3D character development side of the industry, what advice would you offer them looking to enter this field, and how could they best prepare themselves for the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead?
This is my stance on all art in general. And we've been talking a lot about technology and the amount of tools available to artists nowadays, the amount of schools and colleges that are now really focusing on this industry and this craft. It makes my heart sing, because I believe in this industry so much. But I always want to insist and kind of underscore the fact that tools are just tools. You need to have a strong understanding of art fundamentals before you start picking up any of these tools, because a tool will take you only so far if you don't understand how muscles work, how a human's anatomy falls, a skeletal system, muscles, just general functionality as arms raise. What does that look like on the muscles, on your skeletal system? Creatures as well. I mean, it's so fun to create incredibly creative shapes and such, but can that thing move? Can it talk? You know, how would it? You need to explain, and you need to prove out, you know, the functionality of it. And I would say, I know we're mostly talking about characters here, but even for environmental spaces, you really have to have a good sense of design. You know, is that functionally how a building would work? You know, can you add that addition, and would it functionally stand in the world? You know, all of these things. So these are what we always call art fundamentals. So if anyone's looking to break into the industry, start with your life drawing, do sculpture, make sure you do your studies of the greats, you know, the Michelangelos, you know, all of these, and get in there and really study your human anatomy books, really how do the eye sockets work, you know, to be quite frank, you know, it's almost getting into the biology of things. This understanding will make any tool easier to use, because it's an extension of the craft, right? It is a tool to get your creative vision done in 3D. So this is always my stance. And I would say the artists we hire here at Magic Media too, this is what we look for in their portfolios, in their art tests, people who can teach this in our leads, you know, because everything stems from art fundamentals.
It's a good point as well. Like, and it was quite, for me, watching Avatar, The Way of Water now recently, that was just blissful to just learn about these characters, like the animals, the wildlife, the sea creatures, and all those, like that, they must have had a lot of collaboration and a lot of good meetings and a lot of proactive approaches to get that right, because that was mind blowing to look at. So, and it did make actual, like, biological sense, and the environment was good, and it was just a sight to behold.
Yes. And, you know, and then that's a good example, Avatar, right? And then everything works and functionally looks correct and is mind-blowing, and then the world of opinion comes in, right? Did I like the oversized eyes and the elongated bodies? Probably not my favorite design, you know? So this is where opinions are always at play, you know, and all that matters is those in charge are approving it. But I always like to say, too, everyone's an art director. It's easy to really see what you like and what you don't like. And it's subjective. It can be subjective, but no one can doubt kind of the miraculous accomplishment of visual fidelity and graphics of a movie like that. Absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I suppose with the beauty of art is its subjectivity, because it just creates the potential to be limitless.
And oh, yeah.
We can't wait to see more, that's what I say.
Yeah, and you know, that's an interesting point too, Parag, is, you know, this is why there's a variety in the team members we have too. And this is what makes our artists thrive too, is you bring someone with a natural inclination to maybe be a little more stylized and they do it so well. And then you have some artists that are really good at nailing the realistic feel, and you put those two together and they just thrive off each other because they're learning a different, just kind of natural skill set, you know, and that tends to push people, you know, is the variety of opinions and styles and all of this. And it's the funnest time when you're in a room with these creatives and talking about how we could push things this way, or I didn't even think about that, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, realistic, but we could probably add this element and make it look cooler. We have no limit, so let's do it, you know? So this is the fun of the craft.
Exactly. And it definitely sounds really fun to do as well.
Yeah.
Like, any big projects that you're working on that you're able to discuss?
Wow, there are many. And whether we're allowed to discuss, that's always a good question. I'm really excited about some of our co-development assignments. We are starting as a studio to work with clients that are entrusting us to help them create their style, their art style for their game. So we love working with people who have art Bibles and come in with pre-existing art styles, but it's always kind of a special treat when the client comes and says, you know, I need it to be futuristic, cyberpunk, and add this element in, go. You know, and then our art team is like, yes, you know, so we do have a couple of those projects right now, and seeing the art team thrive and kind of pushing the art style has been really exciting to watch.
Is there any styles in particular that you would absolutely like love to do?
Oh, for me, I'm always, my background is in stylized. In stylized is obviously a broad kind of range. I'm one that doesn't like to go too photorealistic. For me, it's always fun to add that level of stylization in to make a little more kind of unexpected or new styling to a space that maybe hasn't been seen yet. So I think this is a space, and it requires, again, I'm going to underscore this, strong art fundamentals to know how far you can stylize something and still have it be readable, understandable. So for me, I personally love that sweet spot. You know, if I were going to call out anything, of course, a lot of people call out Fortnite or a Valorant or something to that level is always fun. But quite honestly, there's so many wonderful stylized games out there right now that
it's hard
to call out. Yeah, any single one.
I think growing up for me, it was always like I was a sucker for like anything steampunk or like.
Oh yeah.
I just love that kind of era. I just find it so fascinating and like magical as well. And technological at the same time. That's my sweet spot for myself.
Oh, absolutely. I would say Arcane is actually a really good example of this. You know, this is a beautiful, beautiful game and series, like visually stunning. And the artists that I would say that are really at the top of their craft, you know, and how the two kind of industries are coming together. I mean, just blown away by kind of the universe they've created in Arcane. Like, this is, you know, coming from a League of Legends, obviously moving into now a Netflix series. I mean, it's just my heart sings seeing stuff like this.
It is. And like, even like with the characters within the series as well, like it really is on the borderline of breaking reality, defying what is reality, but also making it fundamentally able and like doable. Like you said, like the fundamental arts, like these characters take this substance and just completely change themselves, but it still works to actually function in that world, which is a very, it's an art, it's a skill to know how far you can take it.
It is. I mean, Riot has pushed some of their stylizations and they just have top tier artists there. I mean, that's a level of stylization I could work on and look at all day, every day. So, I mean, and they're not the only ones. Let's be clear. I mean, there are coming out that are just as visually stunning, and it's exciting.
I think another one for me to call out would be Jabaro, that episode in Love, Death and Robots. It's just breathtaking how it's just so unique now and compared to what it was before. It's kind of visual effects, but some shots are like designed to not make coherent sense of what it looks like, just to really animate the character even more, but because it's kind of imaginative and also in the sense of like they're kind of getting hypnotized as well at the same time, so it kind of doesn't need to make sense in some shots, which is just crazy going. But if you haven't seen that, watch that. It's very good.
And this is where the collaboration of visuals and storytelling and, you know, design come together. I mean, this is when it all, as we say in certain places, is lightning in a bottle. It's overwhelmingly amazing, I guess is a term I can say.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, exactly.
Kim, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. I just want to thank you so much for your time. It was fantastic getting all these answers, these really, really interesting questions. And we will hope to have you on the show again another time soon. And thank you.
I would love it. I would love it, Pendragon. As you can see, I probably could talk for many more hours on these things, but I appreciate the time today.
Nice one, Kim. And on that note, it's time to wrap this episode up. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on our socials, which are in the links in the description below, and we'll chat again with you in the next episode. Don't forget to check out our blockchain gaming podcast, and most of all, enjoy the rest of your day. See you later.